Ross Garno, the government's climate change advisor, was able to escape the volcanic ash cloud blanketing the southern states this week and got up to Brisbane to talk about his climate change reports to a full house at the State Library. The carbon tax is centre stage on the Australian political agenda at the moment, and it is having an effect on all our political opinions. How much do you know about Ross Garno? I didn't know as much as I thought I did. He is a tall, statesman-like man, impeccably groomed, and he talks in a matter-of-fact way with competent ease. He frames his arguments so they don't come across as arguments at all. I couldn't actually disagree with him, and he said a lot that was worth hearing, but I came away feeling as if we weren't quite on the same side. Ross Garno is an economist, first and foremost. He isn't an ecologist. There is no sense that he's working on climate change because of any caring about what happens to the world's climate and the future of humanity on this planet. Ross Garno is taking an economic perspective. This is not to say that an economic perspective is right or wrong or will not be the most effective approach. It just feels as if something is missing. Ross Garno also lives in a world without limits. He has a firm grasp of the benefits we have all enjoyed from economic growth, and probably an equally firm grasp of how miserable life might be if we start down a path of extended economic retraction. His whole approach to building arguments for a carbon price is tightly linked into continued growth models. This is the world we'd all like to live in. This is our Cinderella world, but is it real? We have oil prices rising steadily and supplies of many essential commodities peaking fast. Shouldn't we at least be thinking about what our best chances might be if a rosy world of everlasting economic growth doesn't work out? Ross Garno's talk was very smooth and deceptively calm. He says Australia is experiencing the best of times. And if we can't act for structural reform for the future in the best of times, when can we act? The trouble is, although there are so many aspects of Australia's economy right now that are so good, Australians are worried. As CEOs are talking down Australia's economy. We are being frugal like we haven't been for the longest time. When Ross Garno says we are in the best of times, it is easy to feel that he is skilled at brushing aside difficulties. Clearly, he expects carbon pricing policy to go through, to be legislated and to be implemented, and to be accepted by the Australian community. He says that if it is not passed, it won't go away. It will still be on the agenda because the climate will keep it there, but the cost of addressing it will be greater. He describes a debate on the carbon price in Australia as bitter and distorted, and says it looks strange to the rest of the world, strange to have mainstream science demonized. He says there is no analogue in the rest of the world. He says there is no reason why carbon pricing should be a party political matter the way it is here. Conservative governments overseas are giving effective leadership in this area, and a carbon price fits naturally into the conservative tradition. It is also strange for the conservatives to embrace such risk to our social institutions as climate change represents. He sees climate change as a substantial threat to Australia's future, more than to other developed countries. Yet we have exceptional human and natural resources for a transition to a low-carbon economy. Australia has the richest solar, wave, wind, natural gas, coal seam gas, geothermal and uranium resources in the world. We also have the possibility of biosequestration and hydroelectric power from New Guinea. We have the engineering, geophysical scientists and project management skills right here. Australia has done very well in a high carbon world, but global mitigation now against carbon emissions is strongly in our interests. People argue that we're only 1.5% of the global emissions, and what we do will make no difference. Garno argues that climate change is no different from the way other international alliances of all sorts of things work. We all do our share, small countries and large countries alike. For example, sending Australian troops to Afghanistan is hardly decisive to the outcome of that war, but it is us doing our fair share. It is very normal collective action for collective purposes. Most of the world's emissions are in countries with less than 2% of emissions. Even if the big countries like the US and China stopped emitting, there'd be a problem because of all the rest of us added up. They can't solve it on their own. They need all us smaller countries to do our share too to solve the problem together. It is only through effective cooperation across all developed and substantial developing countries that we are going to make a difference. And at present, Australia is not doing our fair share. A 5% reduction in carbon emissions would be a very big change in the current trajectory for Australia, because at the moment, on our current policy settings, we're on a 24% increase. So we'd need a 29% reduction to get down to minus 5. Few other countries have such a modest target as minus 5%, but none are so far above on current trajectory as us, and that is a big issue. An appropriate ambition for Australia would be to be somewhere in the middle. The rest of the world is doing quite a lot, and it is only by putting our heads in the sand that Australians can say that the rest of the world is not. We emit 27 tons of carbon per person per year, the highest by far in the world. Some people say it's because we're rich in fossil fuels, but so is Norway, and they only emit 10 tons of carbon per person per year. The UK and France have gone way beyond us in their reduction targets. The UK will legislate to require a 50% reduction by 2025. That is huge. It's more common to highlight the US and China. Ross Garnaut's update paper number 2 goes to a lot of effort to look at what the US and China are doing. The transition to a low emissions economy is now an objective for China. They are taking major action to reduce emissions intensity and closing smaller and less efficient coal-based power stations. China now has the world's biggest nuclear, solar, wind, biomass, and hydroelectric programs. The US failed to get a carbon price through the Senate, but they haven't withdrawn. It is happening in other ways there. There are programs of regulation. Some states have their own carbon pricing policy. There is a gas revolution. Obama is seeking a 17% reduction in carbon emissions, and altogether they're on a better trajectory than us. So carbon emissions, carbon pricing, climate change, they're all things that Australia is grappling with, people in our community are grappling with. It's going to affect our futures. If we don't do something, it's going to affect prices. If we do something, it's going to change our lives one way or another, and we're all trying to work out what it means for us, what it means for us here locally. We hope that it will mean a stabler climate. We hope that it won't damage our economy too much. We hope that the policies that come through will work out for all of us.